Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Amen. Let's close your eyes with me as we pray. We want to declare what we believe in this morning. Amen.
I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Let's sing it one more time.
I believe in God the Father.
I believe in Christ the Son.
I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
I believe in life eternal.
I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. Saints communion
and your holy church.
In your holy church,
I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe
in you. Again, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe in God the Father.
I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Father, this morning, we boldly declare that we believe in life eternal. We believe that, Lord, we will rise again. We will live forever with you. We believe in the saints' communion. That's why we are here this morning, to have communion with the saints. And we believe in your holy church. We believe that the church is your embassy that, Lord, you have established. That we will be encouraged. We will be perfected, O God, until that day when you appear in your glory. As we have gathered this morning, we pray that you speak to us. You affect our lives. Lord, you will not let us leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father, for everyone who is here this morning. Thank you for your spirit, and thank you for divine angels that are here to minister to us. I give you praise, and I give you glory. In Jesus' name, and somebody shouted. Wow, give the Lord a big hand clap, and you may please be seated. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. We want to read from verse 1. Verse 1 of Matthew chapter 22. You are welcome to church this Sunday morning. Sunday morning is a time you come to church. No matter your, no matter whatever you are into, Sunday morning is church. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 22, we want to read from verse 1. We're dealing with many are called. And I believe that this parable will help us to understand the verse 14 of Matthew chapter 22. Jesus also told them other parables. He said, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a king who prepared a great wedding feast for his son. And I said, as I read this during the first service, I'm reading from the New Living Translation version of the Bible. A king prepared a wedding feast for his son. You see, if you're going to live the life of the Bible, your father and your mother must be involved in your marriage. I said, if you are going to live the life of the Bible, which we are all encouraged to do, you will have to involve mommy and daddy in your marriage. Any marriage that you do at New Thriving Restaurant quietly is not a marriage. We come against every secret and quiet marriages in the name of Jesus. When you're going to get married, it must be known. And we must be involved. The church must be involved. Mommy and daddy must be involved. It shouldn't be some quiet something in some corner before you realize your stomach is big and you say you're going to have a baby. You know, the king was involved in a feast for the marriage of his son. Now, I mean, very, very interestingly, in the Bible, you don't marry without your father and your mother being involved. Some people think it's old school. There's nothing like old school. There's no school that's old. Marriage is so important that you don't want to do it by yourself. You need witnesses. You need support. And you need backing. So that as you enter into it, you will securely survive in it as well. So the Bible goes on to say that when the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to notify those who were invited, but they all refused to come. So he sent other servants to tell them, the feast has been prepared. The bulls and fattened calf or fattened cattle have been killed. And every day, everything is ready. Come to the banquet. But the guests he had invited ignored them and went their own way, one to his farm, another to his business. Others seized his messengers and insulted them and killed them. The king was furious and he sent out his army to destroy the murderers and burn down their town. And he said to his servants, the wedding feast is ready and the guests I invited aren't worthy of the honor. Now go out to the street corners and invite everyone you see. So the servants brought in everyone they could find, good and bad alike. And the banquet hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for a wedding. I hope you are wearing proper clothes this morning. Friend, he asked, how is it that you are here without wedding clothes? But the man had no reply. At least if he had replied, it would have been good. Then the king said to his aides, bind his hands and feet and throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. For many are called, but few are chosen. This is the book that we're dealing with for the next couple of weeks. If you don't have it, please buy a copy. You see, we're dealing with this book because most of the time, like this, how this parable goes, many people have been invited by God into the kingdom to be useful to the kingdom of God. But we seem to find excuses for what God has in store for us. There's nothing so special than to be called by God. I said, there's nothing so peculiar than to be invited by God. Now, Bishop talks about The greatest privilege anybody can have is to be invited or to be saved. Salvation is one of the greatest gifts God ever gave to us. Now, God is not leaving it up to salvation. He's saying that I want you to work for me, which is a greater privilege. Hardly do we take that call. Even the call to become a Christian is being contested, is being fought against. People don't spend time. People don't see the value of becoming a Christian. Are you with me? So our objective and our prayer for you this coming weeks is for you to understand. To understand that it is very, very special to be called by God. It is very, very special. It's a great privilege. You see, there's nobody on earth who can call you that it will be very, very special than what God has in store for you. I was saying during the first service that there's one man of God that I really admire and respect so much. And when during election time, I just heard that he left the country. And then I have been looking forward to see if he's coming back. But I saw on Facebook, was it the day yesterday or the day before, you know, very nice family portrait, very beautiful picture of himself, his wife, and his children. And the comments proved to me that the man ain't coming back. You see, because this same man of God wrote a book about how privileged it was when former President Jagdeo called him to come and serve his country. And this is a pastor. This is a pastor who was called to come and serve Guyana. Now, there's no privilege. Bishop said it, if you were to come. He said that if you ask him to be a president, you are demoting him. That is the mindset, that is the understanding you and I must get. That there is nothing important as when the king has organized a banquet and is inviting you. The banquet for his son, God the Father, has invited you to come and celebrate and be part of the kingdom of his son, Jesus. And you and I have other things that we are involved in that we say we don't have time to come. The whole king invites you. Now, I believe that most of this problem is on the fact that we don't understand the call of God. You don't understand how special it is. I mean, even me as a simple man, if I send to call somebody, the people, sometimes they either are afraid or they're excited. Sometimes they're afraid because they look at me like a schoolmaster. They are wondering, what did I do? I feel sad when people think like that. Say, ah, what did I do? You are wanted upstairs. Maybe I should bring my office downstairs. So it'll be a little easier. And so that when you are coming, it doesn't look so bad. I don't know what, maybe, you know, I'm just coming, let's have a chat. You think that I have some cane to give you licks or lashes or something? Yeah, I hope. Yeah, or maybe when you come to my office, maybe I should, you know, I should give you some drinks or something to drink so that when you come that you can tell others that no, it's you get ice cream cake when you go upstairs. So that the idea, you know, of people feeling afraid to come to the office will be taken away. But even when people on earth and earthly so-called important people invite us, we feel so blessed. I said, this pastor that I'm talking about, he was so proud that the former president, President Jagdeo, called him to come and serve in his government. Now, if he was somebody who understands the Bible like Bishop Dagwood Mills understands the Bible, he would not have taken that chance to go and work for a human being. Now, see, when the government changed, where are you? Gone with the wind. But if you serve God, the Bible says that he's the rock of ages. He's the ancient of days. He is from everlasting to everlasting. There is not going to be a time where you will be no more. The best and the greatest privilege is to work for God. And we're encouraging you that God has not just called a few people. He has called a lot of you. You see, when Bishop started writing these songs with maybe Pastor Ida singing all this song. Stand up, get up, get up, stand up, whatever. You know, it's of course it's Bob Marley and these people, you know, all these songs that some people get a little offended by it. Why are you singing worldly music? You see, but Bishop says something that I think is very, very, very wise. He said that, you know what, God has given people a lot of gifts, but they tend to use the gift the wrong way. And he says that he doesn't have that gift, but because people have spoiled their gifts, he's taking that gift and making it right. Yeah. No, it's very interesting that the best of things, even in Guyana, is in the world. Yeah. The best of musicians, they are more in the world. You don't find them in a church. Yeah. The best of singers find themselves in the world. Whitney Houston. And then they just get drowned in a bathtub. Can you believe it? Not a swimming pool, in a bathtub. That's what happens to people who refuse the call of God. You die in a bucket. You die in a bucket. Yeah. So you see that in a bucket, two people die. No, the best of gifts is outside the church. Because people do not understand what a great privilege it is. You see, one thing about human beings is that human beings are so ignorant. Yeah. And when I say human beings are ignorant, it includes you and me. Yeah. And in Ghana, when you say somebody's, you ignorant bad. And then people get offended. But you see, you have to take your time and look for the meaning of ignorant. Don't get vexed just like that. Find out the meaning of the word ignorant. The last time we looked at a word, it meant that you either don't know about something or you know very little about it. So just before you get vexed and you start cursing people, take your time and look for the meaning of ignorant. Yeah. You know little or you don't know at all. And that is what it is. You see, everything about God is such that human beings cannot comprehend it. That's why the Bible says that God is not a man. It means that the way God does his things, a man does not do things that way. The Bible says that his ways are not our ways. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so are his ways from our ways. So, when Jesus was born, if the plan of God, if that plan of introducing the Son of God into the world, if it was orchestrated by a human being, Jesus would have been born in the best hospital in town. What is this King of Kings who just get born in a manger? He can't be the King of Kings. Because look at it. No, nobody likes to go to Georgetown Hospital unless you don't have money. Yeah. Unless you work there. Everybody wants the best hospital. So you can imagine that if your child, if you ever have a dream and God says that, I'm going to introduce another type of Jesus. And I'm going to use your womb for that Jesus to come to town. And Jesus is going to be born in Georgetown. I am sure that with that idea in mind, as your wife is pregnant and all of that, you are going to buy the best of clothes. Because you think that is the best of clothes that actually define a human being. That's how come even in life, many of us are into a lot of material things. A lot of nice clothes, a lot of nice houses, a lot of cars, a lot of money, because we think that those are the things that defines a human being. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15 that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. It means that what you have does not really define you. That the dress that I wear doesn't really say much about who I am. Yeah, because if you are going to look at it like that, you get lost. That's how come the Son of God came and walked this earth and many people couldn't even identify him. So that's how God works. And because of that, the call of God is disrespected. It is not known. It's played down.
the man organizes a feast, and then people, a whole king organizes a feast, and then you, of all people, you have the audacity to say that I can't make it. Yeah. Look at. I want to meet the choir after church. Look at how you are asked to sing in the choir and how you drag your feet. You don't respect the choir. You don't respect it because you don't like Pinky. Pinky is God. Now to you, Pinky is God. And once it's Pinky, you come. If it was somebody else, then you would have come. You don't like the way she talks. What is the choir? I don't want to sing. Me won't sing. Me won't do nothing in the church. You are ignorant. Ignorant of the call of God. It's a privilege. The greatest privilege you can ever have to do something in the house of the Lord. Yeah? Oh, it's so sad how people disrespect the things we do in church. Whether it's dancing, whether it's ushering, whether it's singing, whether it's instrumental. People so disrespect the church. That's how come the best gifts are out there in the world. Yeah. And that's why we must have a group of people who are so passionate about church. That's why we come to church. Some of us will leave here midnight. And people wonder why. You wonder why? Because we want to make a difference between us and you. Yeah. This is what we do. Yeah. Because the world has come to a point where the things of God are not treasured and it says, yeah. No, but we do things for other things. Yeah. And that's why one of the things Bishop told me before he left, and he spoke about it during the camp. He said that we should get we should get two other lands. So we build four church buildings at one time. Why not? Why not? We are going to do it. We are going to do it in the name of Jesus. We must raise the standard of church and church work. Yeah. I tell you. Let people, you see, and that's why people don't understand. They say, why are you in the church all the time? Why are you in the church all night? Some of you, your parents are wondering, why do you go to church so steady? Yeah, they should be grateful that you come to church and you don't go anywhere else. Yeah, but say, we need people who understand the privilege of doing something in the house of the Lord. Yeah. Now, do you look around? Anybody who is good at keyboard or bass guitar or something, they play in the world. They play in the world. The church is like something. Because you're very, very ignorant about the kingdom of God and the call of God. Yeah. Let's understand what it takes and it means to be called. Hallelujah. Now, during the second service, we want to look at how people were called. Chapter is it 3, I think, of the book. How different people were called. Jonathan, do you have your book? Now, people are called very, very differently, okay? And sometimes that also adds up to the lack of response, because it is like, okay, I don't feel like how Sister Wendy feels. So then it means that I have not been called. You see, the calling comes in different forms. Mr. Coletta, maybe the calling is through you being in the choir. You see, but it's difficult to see it. Oh, this choir, this little bit singing that eyes do. How can that be something that will end up in something very great? So you have to understand how God calls. Are you with me? How different people were called. Now, Paul told Timothy that if he wants to look at the calling of God, anybody with a desire is a good person to look at when it comes to doing something for God. You get it? Is there anybody who desires? 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. If anybody desire, you see, so a desire is a sign of the call of God on your life. Sometimes you are interested in something in particular. You are interested in sound. You like gadgets. Sometimes you like music. Yeah, you like singing. It's a sign. It's a sign. Desires, you should not disrespect desires. The Bible says that it is God in Philippians chapter, I believe it's chapter 4, verse 13 or 2, verse 13, somewhere there. The Bible says it is God who works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. It means that the things that we desire to do, the desires are generated by God. So somebody may like Moses. Moses may see a burning bush and hear a voice and take off your sandals. Very, very spectacular and supernatural. And that is the call of God upon his life. And somebody, it will just be a desire. I just love to. But you see, you may easily think that, oh, because mine is a desire and this one was through a burning bush, that one is better than mine. Or that one is real, the call of God, than mine. No, but it's not so. So we need to look at examples in the Bible, look at how different people were called, so that if God calls you in a different way, you will not say, you know what? But it's not like, it's like even speaking in tongues, Tevin. Sometimes when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, when you're speaking in tongues, it doesn't sound like pastor's tongues. So it's not real. Because you want it to sound like, if mine is shalababalab, you also want to speak the same way. If yours is to, it's like, what is to? To is like some car with exhaust, that is a car without an exhaust or something. No, it doesn't sound. That's how many of us who make that mistake. Because the tongues that somebody speaks is not sounding the same way as yours. Do you despise it? And you say, do you speak in tongues? Say, something like that. because you don't respect it. You think that everybody's tongues is going to sound the same. No, it's not like that. Are you with me? All right, so let's look at how different people were called. The first one will be the divine call of Paul through quiet convictions. Convictions, we call it quiet convictions. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 16, quiet convictions. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Are you following? Yeah. Are you sure you're following? Quiet convictions. Like how I invited Brother Sion, the gentleman who did a video for us at the camp. You see, coming to do the video at the camp could be a call. Yeah. And I told him, by you coming to me, church. Yeah, and by the grace of God, he's a nice guy. He's here today. Yeah. Amen. God bless you, Sion. So powerful.
Because, you see, that you meet people that you don't know. And then they introduce you to something. I mean, it's like, it sounds so strange. But is it possible that God has something inside for you? Is it possible? But you see, If you don't understand how God works, you can easily rubbish something. You can easily rubbish it.
And for what I know about Guyana and Guyanese churches, church is boring. So when people talk about church, another place to go and sleep. I better sleep on my bed. Yeah, because the pastor's so boring. Yeah. People picking up their phones. People drinking Coca-Cola in the church and eating chana and plurry. I tell you. Phones, answering phone calls. No, you can't answer your phone call in the church. You see, again, it's the same thing, right? People don't respect the presence of God. People don't see God as how he must be seen. You see, if God, even this guy Maduro, the bus driver turned president in Venezuela, if he decides to annihilate, he said he wants to give a sequence. I want one. Why not? Yeah, I want as many as I can get. Yeah. When you get here, then you show this one. When you get here, you show this one. No. They better don't bring any. It's party cards that I will not collect. I won't collect no PPP or PNU card. But if you bring me, Yeah, if you bring me country, I'll collect.
The Brazilians, you also bring some. I want it.
Yeah. All over the place. If this guy decides to throw one of his bombs over here, you will see. It's possible. Some of these guys, they are crazy guys. Yeah. Because from nowhere, all of a sudden, we are trying to become enemies. People, we've been living nice all these years. And the guy says, Guyana is for him. Yeah, I wonder if we have guns. Do we have guns? Do you think we can fight? Can we fight? Can we defend ourselves? I wonder. Because, yeah, you don't see that people do anything. What's this? Army guys. Gaskin, stand up, Gaskin. You think we could defend ourselves?
No, I have no room.
I don't think we have the power.
We don't even have quarter of the resources.
Yeah. You're looking outside. I saw you at the back of the truck the other day. Your face. Yeah, I wonder if we have the firepower. Yeah. We'll get there. Ciao. We have the water. The fire service truck without water. Yeah, no driver. It's too fantastic. And the building is so close to a fire station yet. You think we can fight a foreign power? 740,000 people? Venezuela? You think we can fight them? We don't even. I'm sure they have some power. I wonder what we have. We can't even control our borders. We can't even control our forest. We should pray. If this crazy guy does something funny, it won't be easy for us at all. Hallelujah. But we are talking about how different people were called, isn't it? Back to the subject. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, that for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yeah. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. The apostle is saying that necessity is laid upon me. It's not like God say, hey, you should preach. He says that he finds it very necessary. So it's a conviction. I don't know if you understand what I mean. Is it sometimes you may feel convicted that, you know what? I just want to clean the church. That's what I feel. It's a call. It's God who's talking to you. You may feel that, you know what, I want to support this church. I want to support this ministry. I want to do something. I want to do this. I want to do that. It's not something that God, I mean, appear to you in person or anything, but there's a conviction in your heart. It's a call. It's necessary. It's necessary that I preach. I don't have to really get a dream or get any vision or trance or whatever. I just feel that it is necessary to preach. You and I, when are we going to preach? When are you going to be a preacher? When you are about to die and you see an angel, then you say, okay, I am going to preach. That's what you are going to preach. Many of us, that's what we are waiting for. Near-death experience. You died and you came back after 12 hours. And you heard a voice. My daughter, go back and preach. Then when you come back, then you start to preach. No. What about if you don't come back? So, quiet convictions are also ways people are called. Yeah. You don't need, it comes. Some people have dreams. Some people have visions. Some people have encounters. But that conviction in your heart is also something that God is using. Don't despise it.
I said, don't despise it. Sometimes it will be, oh, it's your pastor who is actually asking you to do it. Me, I didn't want to. It's just pastor. Take that seriously as God's call also. I say it.
I mean, like Bishop said it. I was minding my business when he said that I should leave Holland. And I believed it. I believed him. And I came. And since I came, at least I've met you. At least we have a church. At least we have churches. That is also a way that God also calls. Because when I came to Guyana, and as I was moving out, the people asked me, why Guyana? Why no place but Guyana? Did you get a vision? Did God tell you? I said, my pastor just told me Guyana. And that was the first time, I mean, not the first time, but I didn't even know where Guyana was. It's true. Yeah. Just like some of you don't know where Ghana is. You think Africa is one country. Yeah. So he's an African. Like Africa is one country. Yeah, Africa is diverse. 52 countries, north, south, east, west, central. All over the place. It's just like somebody sees you and they say, oh, you're a South American. You say you're even more Caribbean. You feel more Caribbean than South American, isn't it? You feel more CARICOM. You're a CARICOManian or something. a CARICOMite. Than a South American. He said, go. And I just came. And by what is going on here, you can believe. I mean, even my people tell me that, oh, it's God who brought me here. Me, I'm not saying that. They are telling me that it's God who brought me here. They even believe that it's God who brought me here without a dream. They are telling me it's God. Well, I'm not saying that it's God. It's my pastor who sent me. Because that's also how God also speaks. So when your pastor tells you something, you should be very careful. Yeah, you should be very careful. Don't say, oh, I don't appreciate. I'll do it my own way. I don't want anybody to tell me what I got for do. Yeah, you're becoming very ignorant now. Hallelujah. Necessity is laid upon me. Second thing, and we close. Abraham, through the word of the Lord. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 12. And so Paul was saying, necessity is laid upon me. Abraham says, and now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will shew thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I'll bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. But verse 1 says that, and the Lord had said unto Abraham. Abraham heard the voice of God clearly. That leave your country, leave your town Haran. I'm going to take you somewhere. So, you, many of us, we don't even know God's voice. Because when God speaks to you, say, something tell me. When I was going and then something tell me, God is now something. Because we don't recognize God's voice. I had a feeling, I had an instinct. You are calling God's voice an instinct. You are calling God's voice a hunch. I had a hunch. Me mind tell me. Me spirit tell me. You spirit is dead. How can your spirit tell you anything? It's the Spirit of the Lord. That speaks to us. So God spoke to Abraham and he said, leave. So where somebody will have a conviction another person will hear God's voice. And it goes on and on and on and on. But God calls in different ways. And it's such a privilege. I mean, when Bishop spoke about, he gave a vehicle to his houseboy. I mean, that got me off my seat. I said, man! Look at how people are going to the bank for money to buy a car. Yeah, a car that some Japanese man has used for how many years? A Toyota. A brand new second hand. Yeah. And you just serve. It's like the call of God has made him so great that people around him. And that's what God told Abraham, that I'll bless you so that you'll be a blessing. That people connected to you and around you experiences the blessing that comes upon your life. That's real blessing. That's real blessing. And it comes by the call of God. So ladies and gentlemen, God has called all of us. Many, many, many people are called. Make sure that you don't despise the call so that you don't become what God doesn't want you to become. Amen. Stand to your feet. My time is up. Hallelujah. Like you borrowed your hands or something. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
With a grateful heart, I lift my hands to you, declaring, Lord, you reign. With a grateful heart, I lift my hands to you, proclaiming, Lord, you reign. Lord, you reign. Great are you, Lord. Great to be praised. Great to be praised. Father, you reign. Great are you, Lord. Great to be praised. Ready to be praised, Father, you reign.
Oh, great are you, Lord.
Great are you, Lord. Oh, great are you, Lord. 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 With a grateful heart, I lift my hands to you, proclaiming, Lord, you reign. Lord, you reign. Great are you, Lord. Great to be praised. Great to be praised. Father, you reign. Great are you, Lord. Great to be praised. Great to be praised. Father, you reign.
Father, this morning, we declare how great you are. Thank you for even the privilege to be called. Thank you for the honor to be called distinctively by you, O God. Thank you that, Lord, you love us, you care for us,
and you have great plans for us. I pray that, Lord, even as we go through this series of Many Are Called, that, Lord, we will individually identify the call of God upon our lives. That, Lord, in answering the call, we will then be used by you and walk in your ways. Let our lives, oh God, indeed never be the same again, even as we enter into your will and walk in your ways. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name, you are here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. If I die right now, I'm not sure whether I'll go to heaven or hell. It's a moment you have to make a decision of a lifetime. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Pastor, please pray with me. I want Jesus. I want to confess Jesus today as my Lord and Savior so I can have a place in heaven and my name will be written in the book of life. If you are here like that, while every eye is closed, you want to lift up your right hand so I'll pray with you. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. Just your right hand up high and I'll pray with you. Just your right hand up high. Pastor, pray for me. I want to be born again. I want to go to heaven when I die. Every eye closed, wherever you are. Just your right hand up high. Just your right hand. Just want to see your right hand. Your right hand up high. Let me see your right hand. You want me to pray with you? Your right hand. That's right. If you lifted up your right hand, I want to ask you to come to me. Come, I want to pray for you. Come. 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 I want to pray. Clap for them as they come.
Running to the mercy seat.
He said.
He said that I could come into his presence without fear.
God bless you.
Into
you want to join them? Come.
Place,
come, I want to pray for you.
Mercy covers me. Come running.
Come. Come to Jesus.
Running,
come to Jesus this morning. God bless you.
Your mercy seat where Jesus
is calling.
Is calling. His grace will be your covering. His love will flow freely. It will provide your healing.
God bless you. You want to join them? Come quickly so I can pray with you. He said I could come into his presence.
He said that I could come into his presence without fear. Into his holy place where his mercy hovers near. Come running. Come,
come
running,
to the mercy seat.
Come running to your mercy seat where Jesus is calling. His grace will be your covering. His love will flow freely. He will provide your healing. Come running to your mercy seat.
Close your eyes with me. Close your eyes with me. And pray this prayer with me. The Bible says that if you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. For it is with the heart that one believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you believe in Jesus, that Jesus is the Son of God, you believe Jesus died for you, then pray this prayer with me. I want the church to join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father,
I am a sinner.
Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I believe God raised him from the dead. I open my heart. And I invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart to be my master and my savior. From this day forward, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord. And I believe with all my heart that by this prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life. And I am now a child of God. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I pray for your people. I pray for your children. I thank you for light that shines in darkness.
and the darkness cannot overcome it. I thank you for the load and the burdens that have been taken away by the power of the cross of Calvary. I thank you for saving these precious people. I pray that, Lord, they will walk with you. They will live the life that is worthy of this confession, and that you do great things in their lives. Thank you that the enemy is defeated in their lives, and that the blood of Jesus Christ covers them. Thank you, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.